Thursday morning. Evan Bray, good to have you here. As we step into another topic that, of course, is front of mind for us, as we know last year, I should say, at this time, we had a lot of wildfires burning in the province. It had been already declared to be an emergency in many communities. Evacuations had taken place. We've seen a few areas in the province where it's been a problem so far this year. And I know we're not through it all, but it's been a better year, I think we can safely say, on that front. And, you know, sometimes when we're thinking about forestry and wildfires, we forget that this province is actually covered in forest. The whole northern half of the province, of course, has a lot of trees, a lot of forestry. And forestry, by the way, the industry supports more than 12,000 jobs in northern Saskatchewan. But the industry has got some challenges. There's some troubling points that they're working through. The recent wildfire seasons, of course, raising serious concerns about the long-term supply of timber. This is needed to keep the mills operating and attract investment. Last year alone, more than 1 million hectares burned in Saskatchewan's commercial forest zone. This is where my next guest comes in and can add to this conversation. We've had Carl Neggers on the show before. He's the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan, and Carl is joining me in studio today. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Evan.
So, I mean, we talked about the wildfires. You and I talked about them last year. This year, a better start, largely due to, of course, the snowpack and the weather that has helped us out, I would suggest.
And the moisture, yeah.
Yeah, the moisture level.
Yeah, that's all timely, yeah.
Is it so? Where are things standing today in the province?
Well, currently, I think there's only a couple of fires that they're expressing as active. Most of them are contained. The most recent fire, the Lobstick Fire, which was the Nesbitt Forest in and around Prince Albert, was the most significant, not only in terms of its burn, but its proximity to a major community like Prince Albert.
Right, and in that case, I know there were a few people on the text line critical of the late start they felt the province got at trying to fight that fire. Did we just get lucky with weather conditions there, do you think?
I think, there was some suggestion that the agency responsible for wildfire suppression kind of dropped the ball early, kind of moving away from fire activity when it was close to Duck Lake. But with the winds that aggravated the actual fires, the embers really increased the size and the impact of that fire. And thank God the winds were blowing the way they were. Otherwise, the city of Prince Albert could have been under a more significant threat. And thank God the timely rains came when they did, because that fire actually leaped the Saskatchewan River, or the North Saskatchewan River, and was threatening some communities, even the community of Shelbrook.
I know after the fires basically were contained last year, there was, of course, lots of reflection by the province saying, we are going to commission a report to be done to try and help us understand what are the lessons learned from this. MNP was commissioned. Premier Moe was just asked about that in a news conference the other day, when that MNP fire review would be ready. This is what he had to say.
I think I said earlier, as soon as it's available, we'd make it available publicly. We've said that from the beginning, and when we're able to make it public, we will.
What is the timeline on that, though? Because it was due months ago.
That is the timeline. When we can make it available, we will. And I would say that's as soon as possible.
So what he said, when we can make it available, we will.
Yeah.
You have a sense that report is done.
I do. The whole process, when it was commissioned by the premier and the agency, and we would have preferred an external review, but it was an internal review, and Myers North Benny was requested to involve stakeholders, including the industry. So we felt it was quite a public process, right? So during the process, there was a commitment to have the report commissioned and completed by the end of February, have the government and the agency review it for its content, and then release it to the public probably by the end of March 2026. Mm-hmm. We heard from the minister delaying that. We as an industry association requested from the president more clarity on the release of that report. He indicated that it would be the spring of 2026. We're now into the summer, and we just recently sent a letter to the minister asking for the release of that report. And what the premier is saying is somewhat kind of funny, because his words in the fall were that he wanted lessons learned for 2026. Well, we're in the 2026 season,
right?
And our accounts on the ground, is not much has changed, which is unfortunate, because you mentioned in your introduction the severity of the 2025 season. And God bless Mother Nature this year, but that still doesn't help us if things get worse and the agency is not taking advantage of the recommendations that were made.
Carl Neggers is the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan. So what is it that makes you think that report is done? Are you seeing some changes, some things being implemented that you feel are as a result of the report and recommendations?
Yeah, we're seeing that the agency itself is taking some on-the-ground actions to involve the industry through an advisory committee. Not that it's very active, but the statement and the process seems to be commissioned. So where did that come from? Did that come from the report? Is that something they're thinking will improve? Well, if the report is indicating that that's something they should do, then where's the rest of the recommendations? Because fundamentally for us is we've requested that in their mandate, that resource protection is part of their mandate, not just public safety, because the Crown is responsible for the protection of that resource because it commissions licenses, 20-year agreements with us and 2 to 5 year agreements with small operators, mm-hmm. family-based operations, and the Lobstick Fire is a classic example where small to family operations have been impacted, where in some cases their 2 year allocation has been completely wiped out. So, where's the report? Where's the recommendations? And how, as an industry, can we help implement those recommendations to improve the situation?
Right. So what would change? You talked about resource protection needs to be included as part of the strategy, not just like personal protection. Mm-hmm. But what would change if that was the case? Why is that important, Carl?
It's critical because in some cases we've seen that when fires aren't threatening a community or a place where people are actively living and working, there's a less interest in suppression. Now, the challenge there is if you allow a wildfire to grow, it gets harder and harder to manage, and it gets extremely difficult to suppress. So if you're attacking the fire when it's incubating in its infancy, that's a great time to reduce its threat. Fundamentally, if you're allowing a fire to grow and become exclusively wild, it's destroying resources that we are allocated for our harvest licensing, but you're also destroying wildlife habitat and other potential recreational investments that people have made, even though they may not be there.
One thing that comes up every time we talk about forest fires or wildfires is, you know, the people that will point out this is part of nature renewing itself. So, you know, is there an element of that to be factored into this discussion?
The wildfire for ages has been a way for renewal, and we shouldn't suspect that it's going to change. And with climate change, we know it's been aggravated. It's more aggressive. But there's things, as we know, that we can do to prevent its harm to things that are important to us. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about resource protection, we're talking about also resource management. What can we do to manage resource so it becomes more wildfire resilient, mm-hmm. and Mother Nature doesn't have the chance to destroy the things that are important to us as well?
Do we do a good job of forestry management? This came into a discussion point when we watched what happened in Jasper. I remember mm-hmm. people very critical of saying, you know what, you don't want to go in and strip back trees because you want the beauty of the forest right behind the community. But at the same time, experts were saying we could have predicted that this was a possible problem because of the way you manage the forest. Where are we at in the province?
Or didn't manage the forest. Well, I think that comes down to public awareness and public education. I think where all levels of government have dropped the ball is informing the public on what a healthy forest is. And Jasper is a great example. Though those trees were still standing, those trees were standing dead. And there wasn't a government entity that didn't realize that it was a fire waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And so shame on them. I've talked to you a little bit before about the Nesbitt Forest where the Lobstick Fire occurred, and that was riddled with dwarf mistletoe, and people actually reside in that forest. So there is current risk, but people are unaware of what that risk means to them because they're not quite sure what a dead tree looks like when it's standing. And most people want trees around them. We suggest they should have healthy trees around them, not standing dead ones where wildfire can occur. And if wildfire does occur, even if it's remote from your location, it's aggravated by the dryness of those trees.
Right. Carl Neggers is my guest, Forest Saskatchewan. I remember the very first time we've had you on the show, you said, you know, people talk about food, fuel, and fertilizer. Well, let's not forget the fourth F, which is forestry.
Right.
And it is a big industry in our province. So I was looking through some of your documents, And I read the term timber allocation certainty. Mm-hmm. This comes into, of course, the industry and providing timber for the wood industry. What do you mean by timber allocation certainty?
Well, the government is rights holder to the resource. And when I say the government, it's the provincial government specifically. And they negotiate 20-year license agreements with our industry. Those license agreements give us a certain allocation on an annual basis to harvest. That allows us to go to banks and investors to get the investment money required to build the $1 billion worth of infrastructure that we have across this province and employing about 12,000 people across this province, particularly in northern Saskatchewan. For our smaller operators, like those that are operating in the Nesbitt Forest, that allows them 2 to 3 year operating license agreements where they can go to the bank and do what they need to do. So allocation certainty means if the government's going to agree to allocate and provide that allocation, they have a duty, right, and an obligation to manage the forest in such a way where that allocation is certainly to be there. Mm. If they're putting wildfire management into an agency that doesn't have resource protection in its mandate, that's problematic for us because that means that they're not taking their responsibilities and their policy obligations as responsibly as they should.
Right.
So if it burns, where does the reallocation come from and how do we protect the interests not only of our infrastructure but the jobs that people have? And again, public safety is important, but if people go home and there's no jobs to go home to, that's problematic for them.
Let's talk about the impact on last year. 2025 wildfire season was a big one. Mm-hmm. How did that impact the this whole discussion around, you know, protecting the asset that obviously is key to your industry? What did it do? Did you have to move operations in some cases? Did it limit the amount of product you were able to produce?
Yeah. Well, we're still working through some of that. And when a fire does occur, and last year, your listeners might not know, in the commercial forest zone, there was over 1 million hectares that were burned. And that causes us to look at, so where does the allocation get reallocated to? If you look at the Lobstick fire, some of the small operators there was just 2-year agreements approved. And some of their areas are completely burned out. So where does the reallocation come from? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have reallocation, that creates uncertainty, which is not good for business, right? And it's not good for community and jobs. So again, working with the province, we're hopeful that they're more lenient on their salvage negotiations with us. We're hoping that there's no fees required in salvage. We're hoping that they're looking at reforestation. And we're collaboratively looking at alternative areas within the commercial forest zone and in the island forest to make sure that our operations stay viable.
Carl Neggers from Forest Saskatchewan is my guest. We talked about the MNP report. I'm sure there's a few recommendations you're hoping will be in there. If you had 5 minutes to sit down with the Premier and Cabinet and talk about what you think the priorities should be, what would you key on?
Well, the first one would be that in the mandate that they include resource protection. If they refuse to include resource protection, then our recommendation would be move fire suppression back into environment, the Ministry of Environment, who is the custodian of managing the forest resource. And that way they would include resource protection because in that ministry, they're looking at protection not only of our allocation, but they're looking at the protection of wildlife habitat and other things related to environmental protection. The second would be a more aggressive and more proactive approach to forest protection and healthy forest management, which would make the forest more resilient, right, to wildfire. That would mean looking at those areas that are aged out and progressively looking at how we reduce the age of the tree, but how do we reduce the opportunity for infestation to occur that are problematic. And finally, public education. I think the public requires and deserves to know what healthy forest management includes, and it should be relevant to where we live. It shouldn't be information that comes from the coast or from other mm-hmm. parts of the world. It should be, what is the Saskatchewan condition and how do we as a collective manage that forest so we all get what we like from it?
Very quickly, we're almost out of time, but are we using technology the best way possible to spot, predict, identify these fires at an early stage?
I'm aware of some of the things that the agency is using, and likely they could speak to it more clearly than I could. But from an industry perspective, we're always looking at new technology. We're just talking yesterday about unmanned transportation vehicles going into sites. So anything that makes operations more efficient, but also the things that soften the footprint.
Sure.
So that we're not damaging the forest in the long term.
Always appreciate your time, Carl. Thanks for popping into the show.
Thanks for having me, Evan. Appreciate it.
Carl Neggers is the CEO of Forest Saskatchewan. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.